With tonight being the night for our major teaching, it's going to be all in for God. It's going to be given by Janet.
The idea I got for this talk came from this book called Call to Service. It's one of Sister Chris's books on her bookshelf. And really, a lot of that information came from like one chapter. This one chapter had a lot to say, so I kind of embellished on it. So for the past couple of months or so, we've experienced some spiritual highs. We had Lent, which was hopefully brought us a little closer to God by sacrifice and meditation on his passion. Then we had Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, and finally we had Pentecost. When these type of events are over, it's easy to fall into the let-down feeling. Just like when we come home from a nice, relaxing vacation, the dreaded drive, well, we call it the dreaded drive home and facing a daily routine again. Spiritual highs and lows are inevitable, just as they are in our daily life. But without the highs, there can't be any lows, or vice versa. When the apostles were with Jesus for 3 years, I'm sure they were on like a spiritual high. But what did the apostles do after Jesus died? They were at first confused and unsure of what to do next. From John 20, verse 9, "For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead." They were probably experiencing an all-time low. For 3 years, they walked with Jesus. Their faith most likely just wasn't quite at 100%, though. When Jesus first called them, they were a bit skeptical, as they should have been. They were asked to literally give up everything and to leave their families behind to follow him. The more that they heard his teachings and observed his miracles, the stronger their faith grew, but still they weren't at 100%. There was still a little doubt. And I say that because when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all ran away because they were scared. And I think that little shred of doubt that was in them made them fear. It caused them to wonder what was going on, even though Jesus told them in advance what was going to happen. Many of us are like the apostles. We are mostly all for God, but just a little bit shy of 100%. After Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the apostles, their commitment became very strong. St. Thomas had to verify this for himself since he wasn't around when Jesus first appeared to the apostles. And then when the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost, that is where I think they became 100%. They were all in for God. No doubts about who Jesus was remained. From that moment on, they lived their lives fully and totally committed to preaching the word of God. And all but one were even martyred for their faith. Their fear was gone. This is what God is calling us to do, to be all in for God. Fortunately, we have the advantage and privilege of reading and studying the Bible, all of its stories and lessons, and all of God's works throughout all of history. I believe the apostles' best works began after they became fully immersed in God, and I believe that could be true for us. In order for us to be fruitful for God, we have to be totally committed. If we are only partly devoted to God, we will not be productive. In Revelations 3, verses 15 and 16, "I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." And that's pretty, says it like it is. So how do we make this total commitment to God, and what does that entail? First, we have to decide to make God our first priority in our lives. From the book Call to Service, which I just showed you, it states, "The question which the gospel puts to us is not how I fit Christ into my life, but how I fit my life into Christ." And I'll read that again because I had to read that three times to really understand it. The question which the gospel puts to us is not how I fit Christ into my life, but how I fit my life into Christ. Our life needs to be centered around Jesus and not the other way around. The book also says the ultimate choice is to risk our whole life by the commitment to a life direction. The choice of living for myself or for God is the choice proclaimed by the gospel. And then in quotes from the gospel, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it shall not bear fruit. Who will save his life will lose it. Because I choose Jesus to be my highest priority, I am also choosing a whole set of values. This means I may need to change myself, my heart, my thoughts, what I do, how I act, etc. The book continues to say, the choice to make a total commitment is not just desirable, but a necessity if there's to be direction, growth, integration, and meaning in our life. We can look to the apostles for this example. When they became totally committed, they began to do their best work. They performed miracles, spoke fearlessly about Jesus, and spread his word as far as they could. We also see this example in the saints, like Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of the Little Flower, etc. These saints were 100% focused on God. Take any sports team and look at their coach and team players. You can tell when a coach is not fully committed to the team, or a team player is not totally committed to play his or her best. They usually don't win many games. Lukewarm players don't usually do so well. And this book explains that superficial Christians and cheap conversions do not produce transformed lives. You have to be all in to be successful. The total commitment starts with our hearts. Until we work on changing our attitudes and convert our thoughts to godly things and change ourselves from the inside out, we will fall short in our spiritual growth. And this book lists some points to consider to help us have a transformed heart. The first one, there's just three. So the first one is task of fidelity. It's not just adhering to our promises, but being open to growth and daily recommitting ourselves to the choices we have made. In all that we do and think, we need to remember our decision to be all and do all for the glory of God. And the second point, inclusion of our commitment to the body of Christ, which is the church. We need to be an active part of the Catholic Church. And this doesn't mean signing up for every volunteer opportunity, but it does mean that we can contribute in some way to building up of the church. Even if a member has physical limitations, they can still say prayers. They can call people on the phone, send cards. The parable of the talents written in the Bible in Matthew's Gospel tells the story of a merchant who gives three of his servants some coins and then leaves for a time and then comes back. Two of the servants increased their talents, but the third one hid it. It did nothing. Then the merchant proceeded to take away the one talent he had and had him cast into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God doesn't want us to hide in our house and do nothing with the graces and blessings he gives us, especially in order to help others out. He expects us to interact with the people around us and to hopefully build up the body of Christ. And the third point, it does not include being self-righteous and trying to change others. We have to change ourselves in our own heart. Not running ahead of God, let him lead you where he wants you to go and do. We need to remember that we are all sinners in need of God's mercy. We need to pray, meditate, and ask God to continue to transform our hearts and mindset, and continue to ask him to teach us what we need to know and to do what he wants us to do. We have to keep our eyes focused on God and not on other distractions. In Proverbs 4:27, It says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. We still have to take care of our responsibilities and families, but we can include God in that, and God expects us to do so. All of our daily tasks, even our eating and drinking, can be done with God. It is when we take our eyes off of God that gets us into trouble. When we look to the right or left, what we're going to see is evil things, negative things, but you can also see some positive distractions that can become addictions, such as like the game apps on the phone, which, you know, that's really easy. It's not a bad thing, but when you do it 2 hours a day, it takes up too much time. So even things that don't look harmless can turn into something harmless. Sometimes Satan works in subtle ways, and before we know it, we are in a bad state of affairs or have become too distracted, and now more time is spent on things instead of God. When we experience spiritual dryness, we still need to keep our full commitment to God. This takes some self-discipline, but if we establish some good praying habits, this dryness will be less painful and will help us keep our focus on God. Which a good example is Mother Teresa. She had spiritual dryness for many, many years, but because she had such good prayer habits and she still believed in God, she just kept going and she did the right thing. So it's important to decide now to be fully committed to God so that we can be very fruitful for the glory of God. Let us imitate the servant that was given the 10 talents, or like the apostles after Pentecost, so that we can be all in for God.